Nelson.
Good morning. I am Mark's nephew. Please don't hold that against me. I'll claim him, though. I will claim him. Would you pray with me before we get started? God, we thank you for the heart of a father that you have towards us. God, towards your children. Lord, we just lean into you this morning. God, as we talk and just discover what's in your word and your commandment to us as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, to do your work in the nations, God, that our hearts would break for the things that break your heart. God, so we just invite your presence to be with us this morning. Invite your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's a privilege to be back with you guys. I was here last year, so thank you for having me back again this year. I'm encouraged to hear what you guys as a church are doing. I had an opportunity last year on a Sunday night to hear from Brandy and Shane a little bit about what they're doing with Kids Hope. And just to commend you as a church for being God's hands and feet. You know, we're not all called to go to the nations, but making a difference in your community and where God has put you is the key thing in what's on God's heart. And so what I want to talk a little bit about this morning is this special Sunday that you guys have of Orphan Sunday. This is a topic that is very close to my heart. At an early age, at 17 years old, God called me to the very thing that I said I would never do, and that was to be a missionary. Who knows, God is like that sometimes. Never tell God you won't do anything. You'll find yourself maybe doing that exact same thing. Growing up with parents as pastors, we moved around a lot. And I kind of resented the church for kind of taking my mom and dad from me. And I found myself wanting to run from the church, wanting to run from full-time ministry. And at 17 years old, God called me into the mission field. And for the first time, I found myself as a teenager in Southeast Asia. I'm on my first missions trip to Southeast Asia, which is in the 1040 window, and I'll maybe explain that a little bit here in a second. But something that hit me and hit my heart and broke my heart was an experience on the border of Thailand and Cambodia. Who knows where Thailand is? Anybody been to Thailand before? Anybody in the military maybe that was stationed there? So Thailand and Cambodia, we were on the border, and we were renewing our visas. And there was an experience that I can vividly remember, and I'll try to describe how I remember it to you this morning. But there was a truckload of children. There was probably 10 or 11 children in the back of a truck. And as we were standing there renewing our visas at immigration, I noticed a man getting out of the truck and handing money to one of the Border Patrol officers. Basically as a bribe, whatever you want to call it, to look the other way, to participate in the trafficking of these 10 or 11 children in the back of the truck. And for a moment, I didn't really know what was going on. I'm like, oh, those kids are going from Thailand into Cambodia through the fence. And our translator, who worked with Youth with a Mission in Bangkok, Thailand, said that is a prime example of the corruption of this nation, of children being sold from one person to another into forced sex slavery, debt, labor, exploited. Most of these kids were under the age of 10 years old. And there are said to be about 27 million cases of this worldwide right now. It's the largest growing industry of the selling of people to people. And it's modern-day slavery. And this is something as a young person, in that moment, God broke my heart. He gave me a glimpse of the things that break his heart. And from wanting to run away from doing something about it, I had saw firsthand. And the Lord said, Andrew, I want you to be my hands. I want you to be my feet. I want you to be the one that stands in the gap and says, here am I, send me. And from that moment, I found myself in numerous places around the world wanting to be a voice for the voiceless, to stand in the gap on behalf of those that are exploited. And many of those kids come from areas of the world. There is no gospel. There is no salvation message being taught, being preached. There is maybe no scripture that is even translated in their mother tongue. So right now there are 6,500 or so languages in the world. Some of them dying off as villages die off and people move into the city areas. 6,500 languages, and out of those 6,500, there is 2,100 of those that don't have one scripture, no devotional, nothing in their language. And looking at that as an injustice in the world today. And so we're actually, as YWAM in Colorado Springs, we're partnered with Wycliffe, who does a lot of Bible translation, with International Bible Society, with a number of organizations to try to eliminate Bible poverty. And so there's a lot of versions, and we could probably talk a long time about what is poverty, a lack of income, a lack of a job. That was a great video kind of introducing that topic. But we believe that the church collectively, we need to begin standing up and saying we don't want to just be spectators. We want to be active and involved. And I just commend you guys for what you're doing here, because trafficking is actually not just in other parts of the world anymore. Trafficking and the sale of people, whether that is through forced labor or sex slavery, is actually in our backyard here. How many are aware of these things happening in our cities in America? You've seen probably Dateline NBC episodes about it. There are injustices that have come to us. And so just want to encourage you as we talk a little bit this morning to begin asking God and to pray that prayer that, God, would you allow my heart to break for what's breaking your heart? And invite him into that process, because I think, 40 minutes a week, man, we take for granted our time. And to give a child our time and our attention and let that be the resource that we give them could change a life, could break a cycle generationally of neglect and abuse. So I want to encourage you to do that. So last year, I've got an amazing wife. We've been married for 11 years. And I have two boys, 8 and 5, and they are miniature versions of myself. And I don't know how I feel quite about that. But they have the Nielsen blood in them. And I believe in inheritance that's been passed down from generations of my family being involved in ministry. And oftentimes kids, it's funny, we think that as adults, we have everything it takes to do ministry or to share our lives or to share the gospel. And kids put us to shame. Kids have no fear of man. They have no filter. And also there's no junior Holy Spirit. And so kids, actually, they hear God a lot clearer because the sin nature maybe is not in full swing yet. And we had the opportunity as a family to go visit a lot of our ministries in Thailand that are doing a rescue and recovery from grabbing people who have been in the industry, who have had their names robbed and now are a number standing in a window, and are often fed by the sex tourists from America, from Europe, going into these nations to take advantage of children. And we took our boys at a young age, not into the heart of the red light district, but into a lot of our safe homes that YWAM has set up and established. And it was going to be a potential video this morning, and I can maybe send a link out via email to some of you that are interested, just highlighting what God is doing. Oftentimes you hear of a child being rescued out of that, maybe a ministry, maybe a church or an organization or a government organization goes in, but 83% of the time someone is rescued from exploitation, they end up back in and being trafficked again. A lot of that reason is they were taken at a young age. They're illiterate. They have no vocation, no job training. And so they're back living on the streets in a very vulnerable place. And a lot of these are orphans. A lot of these come from villages where there has been extreme poverty, death, sickness. And kids end up living on the streets in hoping to survive, living off the land. And as we took our boys, it's really interesting, and I believe it's not a coincidence. There's in downtown Bangkok, there's a Christian church that is run by Thai people. And behind the church, there has been a garbage dump. If you can just picture a landfill, there's a landfill behind this church, and it's filled with children who have all congregated there to find shelter, maybe to find scraps of food. And it's interesting because it sits right behind this church. And the church, for years and years and years, did nothing to engage. So kind of picture this, maybe have a mental picture in your head right now of if there was children living maybe in the field behind the church here. And we did nothing as a church to engage those children. Wouldn't that be an injustice of reaching out? And as a church, there's been so much that we've focused on, and we've drifted from God's mandate to us as the body of Christ. And for years, this church in Thailand did nothing. And about a year and a half ago, they begin saying, I feel like God is telling us as Thai people to reach out to Thai people and these Thai children who are sleeping in there, and they have no parents. They're displaced people in the middle of one of Asia's largest cities. They begin taking them in once a week for a meal in the church, teaching them stories of the Bible in their own language, having them color, teaching them to add, subtract, to write. Or begin seeing a cycle that has been lasting for years and years and years of kids neglected and neglected and neglected. And here we have the church raising up and saying, we want to do something about that. That's an injustice in our backyard, and we're going to raise up. We're not going to drift any longer. But God, here we are. Send us. And if you have your Bibles this morning, if you could turn to James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 27. And today being Orphan Sunday, Mark and I were chatting a little bit last night, and I did some word searching. And in the Bible, there are 37 different scriptures that talk about taking care of the vulnerable, taking care of the fatherless, taking care of the orphan and the widow. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows, their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Many children travel alone and become victims of human and drug trafficking. Children who flee with their parents can also be vulnerable because their parents work long hours in factories and fields, leaving them to fend for themselves on the streets. These children can also end up alone if their parents are detained, deported, or become ill. In addition, family can be tricked by traffickers. You know, to go to a place like Nepal, my wife and I and our boys, after Thailand, we hit Nepal on our way back to Colorado. And we visited several villages that actually have no women or children left in the villages. They've all been trafficked. You can hit this place called Kathmandu. You probably have heard that on the news. It was severely hit by the earthquake in the Himalayas in Nepal several years ago. We actually missed that earthquake by about 2 weeks. And while we were there, we were there to kind of do research and to see what God was doing in villages. And we've been doing a lot of Bible distribution in the nation of Nepal. Nepal has 15 million homes. And the majority of those homes have no scripture. They've never heard the name of Jesus before. They've never been given a chance to even reject the gospel. And realizing as a church, the Lord began speaking to me as a young person that we're God's plan A. As the church, we're his plan A. There's no plan B that God has up his sleeve to bring the gospel to where it's not. And as we hit these villages and realizing the injustices happening in villages of traffickers coming to villages, tricking parents. There's an average income maybe of $1 a day in a lot of these Himalayan villages. A lot of it is through agriculture and farming. And so traffickers will come in from places like New Delhi, Bangkok, Mumbai, large cities that are known for their sex tourism. And they will come into villages and say, I have work in the city for your children, maybe through manufacturing or sewing or in the hospitality food industry. And they'll say, we'll send money back to your village so that you can feed the rest of your family. And they've been tricked. And so we've been doing a lot of prevention programs, educating people in villages on what to look for. Because many of the times their children go with these strangers never to be seen again and sold into the industry. And so we're focusing as a ministry of Y, when we're focusing on the rescuing of children, men and women, of boys as well. This is not just from the female gender, of boys being sold as well. And we're focusing on the rescue and the restoration. Who knows, there's nothing God can't redeem. That's part of who he is. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing that he says, oh, you know what? That's gone too far. I can't fix that. I can't restore that. And the gospel is the only thing that can bring about redemption. Now, we can teach them skills. We can give them food. We can teach them to read and write. But unless the gospel is central, true transformation doesn't take place. And that's for us. That's for all of God's creation. And we're seeing children's lives transformed, hearing the gospel, prayed over, delivered from demonic strongholds, delivered from self-worthlessness, where they've seen people exchanging money for the value of their life. On average, it's about $7 for an 8-year-old child in Southeast Asia right now. $7. On average, a 10-year-old child, and these are some harsh statistics, this is reality that I want to bring this morning to us. On average, a 10-year-old child will be used in the sex industry 5 to 7 times a day. From clients coming to them. Many of these children have been addicted to drugs. They've been forced to take drugs so they won't run away. There is no plan for their life other than what they know now. They're afraid to run away. They've been threatened if they do run away that the traffickers will go back and kill their families in the villages. You know, and as a church, we can't be spectators. We have to say, God, what is my part? Not do I have a part, but what is my part? And right now we have, at our campus, we're focused on training missionaries. We realize that the church and the gospel has gone forth into about a third of the world as we know it. We can call these World A or World B locations, where there's scripture translated in their tongue, in their language. There's resources available. There's churches planted in those areas. But two-thirds of the world's population in the 1040 window, if you can kind of picture a map, 10 latitude and 40 latitude. And you can draw a rectangle around that area, and it's the northern part of Africa into Central Asia, into the Middle East, and into Southeast Asia. It's the poorest of the poor. It's where these 27 million slaves today, the majority of them are in the 1040 window. Yet it has very little focus from the church worldwide. You know, we've focused on a lot of the areas that are not persecuted areas where we can easily get into as the church. And the 1040 window is filled with Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, animists. They're the pillars of the Islamic world, of the Hindu world. They're hard places. They're places where we can't walk in and just preach the gospel like this because we would lose our lives. And our campus in Colorado Springs, with 160 staff, we're focused on training students from right out of high school to second career people that are retired. I think our oldest staff person in Colorado Springs is 84 years old. So we all qualify. We can all go to the nations. And our goal is to multiply the missions force where it's not. And if us as the church, if we won't do that, who will go? Who will go? As a young person, this is something that I've given my life to. I feel like the Lord is saying, you will die doing this. As a family, we want to see a multiplication happen where his glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And it's promised. We've read the end of the book. We know who wins, right? God's word is clear that he has triumphed over the enemy. But we have a job to do. And I truly believe our simple obedience, our simple yes, even to a 40-minute time once a week, that our simple obedience will change history. It can change the course of one individual's life. So I want to kind of just leave you with just three thoughts. I know when I get an opportunity to speak or to share just my heart and my story, a lot of people are you know, they'll come up and say, well, what can I do? If I'm not maybe called to go, what can I do? And I want to leave you with three things, and I think Brandy shared this too, is we need people to pray. You know, in Scripture it talks about God hovering the earth in the Old Testament, looking for someone. It says, I was looking for someone to intercede, to stand in the gap, on those that are in the place of vulnerability. Who will raise their hand and say, God, I will pray. I will stand in the gap. I will intercede. You know, and I believe we all understand and believe the power of prayer. But I've personally seen, and I could tell you story after story, of the laying hands on people or praying into things that are going on in nations, and the Lord actually shifting things, that the Lord actually wants to move mountains. He wants to intervene and co-labor with us, but he's looking for someone as he hovers the earth to say, here am I. I'll pray. You know, in that scripture in the Old Testament, it says he hovered the earth looking for someone, and it says he found no one. You know, and as a church, I think the biggest thing we could do is allowing that openness to say, God, when you speak to me, you're going to get a yes every time. And a lot of times, God, maybe he won't share everything because maybe we won't say yes. But God is looking for a simple yes. And this morning, that is my challenge to you, is looking at our daily prayer lives. If God decided to answer every one of your prayers in the last week, would it change the entire world? Or would it just change yours? Is it for the orphan? Is it for the widow? As we fill these 800 boxes, that our prayer would be, God, let this be a lot more than just a box and what's in it, but that your gospel would go forth, that your Holy Spirit would speak, it would minister to the children or to the individual opening this box. And I believe that's our role as a church, is to say, God, what's on your heart? Break my heart for what's on your heart, for what's breaking your heart. And that should be something that we, as a follower of Jesus, that is just a non-negotiable part of what it means to be a son and daughter. And we've been grafted into the kingdom of God. We've been adopted by him. And the number one thing when you're given a gift is to share it. Are we sharing this gift? Are we praying that others would experience this gift of salvation? Are you guys with me? Amen? The second one is to give. You know, in the Old Testament, there was kings and there were priests. And the priests were reliant upon kings filling the storehouse with finances, with resources to do the work. You know, kings were called to be a people of high stature, to be wealthy. And they understood that this wasn't just their wealth, this was God's wealth. And the priests were one, you know, I see even, I'm picking on you this morning, Brandy, but to be a priest, to say, you know what, I need help, I need people, to be an advocate, to say, would you come and be a part of what God's doing? And that the church would be a platform of resources. Maybe you're sitting there this morning and you have resources. Maybe you have time. Time is a resource. You say, I want to give time. I want to give money. I want to give something to contribute. So prayer, giving of resources, and impact. From my experience growing up in the church, you know, I was, we moved around a lot with my parents and taking on different churches. And I remember as a young person sitting in the pew, and missionaries would be coming off the field, and you probably have all seen that, and they show, you know, the slideshow. It was like a black and white slideshow. And they've been in Africa for 20 years and just shared how hard things were. And I remember sitting there as a young person, and I'm like, I never want to do that. You know, why would someone sign up to move to Africa, learn a new language, eat awful, nasty food, and maybe see one person come to Jesus in 20 years. And if we look at it in the physical, it looks defeating. It can look very hopeless. And when we look on CNN and Fox News and we look at what's online and what's highlighted, it shows that God's not winning. That could easily be a takeaway, is that Islam's on the rise and Christianity is on the decline. But right now, we're living in unprecedented times, you guys, where the gospel is going through nations like it never has before. Where we're seeing revival happen in restricted areas. We could talk about the underground church in China, where people are exploding, church planting people. They've been saved for a day or two, and they want to go plant a church. They have no idea what the Bible says, but they're zealous because they've been saved. they've experienced the love of Jesus for the first time. We could talk about the millennial generation in Southeast Asia using social media as platforms to witness to thousands and thousands of people coming into the kingdom. So the part of impact, maybe there's someone in this room, maybe there's more than one person in this room that's called to go. To be the priest to say, I need, and I'm feeling the Lord's calling and stirring on my life to do something. Maybe long term, maybe the urge to leave Monroe City to go into the nations. Maybe it's, and I don't know all the statistics of this area or of Indianapolis or Evansville, but chances are there are people from the nations who have come to us. Right? For the longest time, missions and missionary, the paradigm was that we have to leave here to go to the nations to preach the gospel. But a lot of the nations are beginning to come into our cities. You know, and I began to think about this in Colorado Springs. We were at the grocery store, and I saw a couple. They looked Middle Eastern. And the Lord said, go up to them and invite them to your country. And I said, that's kind of weird. God, I'm not going to do that. And he just kept prompting my spirit. And so I went up in a very Nielsen way. I was taught at an early age that my dad, in watching Mark, they know no stranger, and they could talk to anybody. And so learning that and observing my dad doing that in a grocery store, I went up and just struck a conversation up with this couple. They had been here for 7 years. They were from Afghanistan. And he spoke perfect English. He was actually a highly educated man working for Hewlett-Packard in Colorado Springs as a software developer. And they had three young kids hanging on the shopping cart. And we just began, and I had one of my boys with me, began just talking to them about their culture, about where they're from, about challenges that they have living here in the United States now. And what came out of my mouth was, has anyone invited you and just welcomed you to the United States? And the guy actually started tearing up. He was probably mid-40s and said, no, nobody has. And I said, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I want to invite you into my country. And he started crying. I mean, I think we're in Costco in the line checking out, and he starts crying in the checkout line. And in that moment, just really realizing, you know, when we travel, and those of you who have maybe traveled outside of this country, the welcome and greeting that we receive from other cultures is one of hospitality, you know, and this is biblical, that we would be hospitable to people that don't look like us or don't act like us, and especially to non-believers, you know, and just really realizing, what is my witness to someone who's probably stereotyped America because they're watching our news, they're getting our TV and our music and our movies, and we're supposedly one nation under God. So a lot of other nations are viewing our nation as a Christian nation. And so we have opportunities every day, our neighbors that we do life with. How are we sharing with our neighbors? How are we sharing maybe with the stranger that might be the only opportunity they have to hear just a nugget of the gospel? Or to see the gospel on display with our actions towards them? And I've been really convicted of this personally. I'm preaching to the choir here and to myself, where I've said, you know what? I'm not going to evangelize. I'm not going to share my faith. I'm not going to step out into being uncomfortable. I can do that overseas. I can do that when I'm maybe preaching in China or Thailand or Nepal or at a house church or where it's comfortable for me. The Lord really began to change my perspective on what if that was the one opportunity. And then we'd actually allow the Lord and the voice of the Holy Spirit to come in and challenge us to be uncomfortable. And I believe, looking throughout Scripture, and you can study this just throughout the life of Jesus. Jesus was inconvenienced nonstop. He was on his way to somewhere, and he had people constantly asking and for his attention and grabbing him for something, for prayer. You know, I mean, it says in a lot of different stories. I mean, he was on his way somewhere when so-and-so, or when such-and-such happened. And I believe we're to walk and to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we have to be willing to be inconvenienced. To stop and say, God, is this you? Am I supposed to say something? What am I supposed to say? And I believe we begin practicing walking in the presence of God. that this isn't a Sunday, wouldn't be a Sunday thing for us as his body. But it'd be throughout the entire week, throughout our entire life. And I believe we're going to have to give account for this. It says in Matthew 12 that we will give account for everything that we've done and that we've said. I believe God wants to equip us as his church to say the hard things, to say them out of love, not out of Bible thumping somebody over the head, but to share our lives with someone, to share our experience, and to share where we came from and what we get the privilege to be now and walk in now. And I want to just commend you guys as a church to ask the Lord, what is my role? What is my part to play? Am I to go? I feel like we're all called to pray. But God, what does that look like? What are you calling me to do within prayer? And I've been challenged by a number of people that are strong people of prayer, that I've been mentored by and just looked at their life and looked, man, that's just someone I want to be like. And so I've surrounded myself with people that just challenge me and my complacency and apathy. And I've been just invited the Lord and I've given him permission to make my life uncomfortable. Until it hurts, until it's just awkward. And if God wants to use me in a way where I would look foolish, where I wouldn't shrink back. And I believe God is desiring that from his church today. More now than ever. With what our nation is going through, what we're going to go through, that it's time for us to dig our heels in and to share the love of Jesus in a way that's not defending it, but showing what the gift actually looks like. So would you guys just bow your heads and pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, we want to give your gift away to others. God, and we truly pray that you would break our hearts, God, for the things that break your heart. God, that we wouldn't live in complacency. God, we would just understand what it means to be the bearer of good news to those who don't know the good news yet. God, we've had the privilege to receive the gospel, to receive salvation. God, knowing that 2/3 of the world's population haven't been given that privilege yet, God, and we don't take advantage of that. Lord, and we do, and we want to be people as you hover the earth. God, that you would find Monroe City, that you would find Indiana, that you would find America. With your believers with their hands up saying, yes, here I am. I will pray. I will stand in the gap. I will be inconvenienced to share your message, to share your love. God, would you show us what that looks like? God, we want to make your heart happy as our Father, as our Heavenly Father. God, we love you. We thank you for your love in return. In Jesus' name, amen.
A word or two before we share our closing hymn about the rest of the day. We're not taking an offering for Andrew today. If you'd like to give some support, Andrew and Tanya raised their own support, as what all YWAM staffers do. So you can give that to me or Andrew or however you want to handle that. The rest of the day, as I said, Andrew's going to be back in the choir room, Sunday school room, if you want to hear more. Andrew could talk all day about, he's obviously passionate about what he's doing, about what God's doing around the world, and God is on the move. So we're thankful. Thank you, Andrew, for sharing with us. We're going to have lunch together. We're going to pack boxes and pray over those. We encourage you, if you pack a box, to come and to pray. And there's opportunities to serve with our youth. Youth are meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. So there are many ways that we can serve, and As Andrew has challenged us, this Christian life is not just a Sunday morning thing. It's every day, every hour of our lives that we pour out our lives as a living sacrifice to God in service to Him. That is our reasonable act of worship, the Word tells us. This is our Father's world. God is still in charge regardless of what happens. God is sovereign over all. Let's stand and sing together in closing. There is an elder praying in the chapel. If you need prayer after the service, you're welcome to take advantage of that as well. Let's sing together.